Every hair that falls is numbered. He knows, he cares. Casting all my care, my burden upon him, for he careth for me. He cares for me. He cares for you. God is good.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, good day and welcome. On Love Never Fails today, Pastor Bill continues his study of the book of James with the conclusion to the message, Don't be deceived about temptation. Now, Pastor.
If God really cared for me, why would he allow these things to come into my life? Why? Listen, we have to be very careful, loved one. Whether it's a trial, whether it is a temptation, you must never, no, never, no, never blame God. Listen, and you must never doubt God, his love, and his goodness. Do you understand? No matter what you're facing, you'd never, never do that. Why? Well, let me explain. It takes us back to the first temptation. What did the devil do to Eve? He was saying, look what God's doing. Here you are. He's holding out on you, Eve. I know you want to be like God. You want to know good and evil. Come on. All you have to do is eat of that. See, God's holding back something from you. You deserve it, but he's not a good God. See, the same thing that happened there happens to us as well. And listen, what did she do? She doubted the word of God. She doubted the goodness of God. Maybe she even thought, and I'm saying she did, that God is not, maybe he's not all good. You understand? I want to read to you exactly what came into my spirit as I prepared this yesterday. And this is very important. I said this, if you ever doubt God's goodness in a trial, if you ever doubt God's goodness in temptation, when you're being tempted, you will be attracted to the bait that the temptation offers. Do you understand me? That is so, you can't let that kind of thinking come into your mind. You'll be deceived. Listen, like I said, whenever David sinned and God said, okay, when on the census, and said, you want 7 years of this? You want 3 years of this? You know, what do you, or 3 days of this and so forth? What do you, you know, famine, plague, or war? What do you want, David? I'm giving you a choice. Listen to what David says in 2 Samuel 24:14. He says, and David said, oh, I'm in great distress. Please let us fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great. Do not let me fall into the hand of man. Listen, what was he saying? God is good. And whatever he does to me, whatever he wants to do to me, God is good. And that's why David made it. Whatever temptation, whatever you face, you have to know that all that God gives, everything that God does, there's not a moment that God is not doing good. That's why for all the years of my ministry, I close out with that song, God is good. He is good. And when things come into my life, no matter what they are, I never doubt the goodness of God. Never. I will never do that because if I do, there's a trap waiting for me. And that's important that you know that. So James, he makes a command. He says, do not be led astray. Do not be deceived. Sin is the ruin of everything that is good, loved one. And God only gives good things. Look at verse 17. He says, every good gift, every perfect gift is from where? From above. And the greatest gift of all is that came from above is our Lord and Savior. Amen? And he says, and it comes down. Now that right there is present tense continuous, meaning it constantly comes down. And it comes down, every perfect gift, every good gift constantly, not occasionally, is coming down from the Father of lights, of whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. So James uses two Greek words for the word gifts, okay? So the first gift there means the act of God giving, and the second word here means the gift itself. When God gives you anything, everything he gives you is good. Amen? Yeah. No, it is good. I mean, God is good. Everything he does. Listen, I've been sick all week and I've been, you know what I'm saying, still sick today. But the fact of the matter is God is good to be in this. He's good because I'm still standing. Amen. He's good because he allows me to get up and teach. And when I go home, I'm going to bed. You know, but the fact of the matter is that God is good. Oh, I love the Lord. He's good. He's so good to me. No, every tear he catches. Amen. Every hair that falls is numbered. He knows, he cares. Casting all my care, my burden upon him, for he careth for me. He cares for me. He cares for you. God is good. And every gift that God, he's pouring them out right now. If you don't think God's good, how are you going to get it? God says, I'm pouring it out continuously on the people I purchased with my son's blood. And they're good. Everything, every gift is good. And it comes from above. And listen, it says his gifts are perfect. That means that God's gifts are as perfect as he is. That means that God's gift, the perfect gift, it lacks absolutely nothing. It's completely complete, completely perfect. So don't you ever be deceived in the midst of a trial or temptation. God is there. God is good. Let him pour the good things out upon you, because everything good in this world comes from God, because all goodness originates with God. Amen? There would be no good in the world if God didn't give us good. We wouldn't even have that in our vocabulary. So the Father of lights is also the Father of life. And we are his children. Amen? And you know, it says there, it says, look at it, the Father of lights, whom there's no variation, the Father of lights, God never dims. Do you understand? He doesn't dim. He is light, man. And not only that, it says there's no variation or shadow in his turning. That means that God is the same. He never, never changes. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord God. I do not change. Amen. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, same yesterday, today, and forever. See, the devil wants you to think in a temptation. That's why you're tempted. You need this. He wants you to think that God's holding out something on you. And that bait is sometimes very nice. It's very pretty. And it doesn't look like it's going to cause any damage. And it might not even look like it's wrong. But it's bait. And bait always hides the hook, the consequence, amen, that wants to reel you in. Listen, Satan doesn't have any gifts. He has no good gifts. He doesn't have any gifts, and he never gives gifts. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And you know what? Who pays for that? We do, if we take the bait. Now, Jesus said this in Matthew 7:9. He says, or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will you give him a stone? Can you imagine your little baby boy or girl and saying, Daddy, I'm hungry. Can you share that little piece of fish with me? You know, or that little bread, rather? And he says, and you hand him a rock and say, chew on this, son. I mean, you know? Or if he asks for a fish, you're going to give him a snake, a serpent? Well, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, listen carefully, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Listen to me now. Let me be just so simple. When is the last time you said, God, will you just pour out on me good things? Because everything you do is good. Every gift from heaven is good. Every good gift is a perfect gift. When is the last time you just said, God, pour out good things on me? Let me receive them and know that I have them. Amen? Jesus said, and said in Luke 11:13, if you then being evil, meaning if you're not born again, if you being evil, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Have you ever asked for the Lord, fill me again with the Spirit of God? Listen, everything God gives is good. Everything. The gift of salvation, is that good? The gift of the Holy Spirit, is that good? The gift of grace, is that good? Everything God does, he does continuously. He doeth good always. Never, never be deceived about temptation. Now listen carefully. Temptation is always to be resisted by the power of the Spirit, okay, that lives in us. But there are times when resisting has to come to an end and you have to do something else. Remember Joseph who was there in Genesis, who was sold into slavery. He was about 16, 17 years old by his brothers. And he was tossed into the pit, remember, and sold to the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites sold him to the Egyptians and so forth. And then there was a man named Potiphar. And Potiphar was the chief executioner and takes him in to be the overseer of his household. And the Bible says that God was with Joseph, and all that he did, he was successful in it because God was with him. And it says now, he's in Potiphar's household, he's the overseer, and it says in Genesis 39:6, now Joseph was a handsome in form and appearance. Now, aren't you glad the Bible tells you the truth? You know, he was a good-looking young teenage guy. He probably built like me, you know what I mean? I'll take that as a love offering, okay? Now, Joseph was handsome in form and appearance, and it came to pass after these things, meaning after that he was successful, Potiphar rescued him and so forth, if you will. It says that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, lie with me. Now, there's the temptation. There is the bait. I want you to think right now. Joseph is 16, maybe 17, maybe 18 years old now. I mean, he's in the prime, let's put it that way, okay? And listen, do you think that maybe he's lonely? Do you think that maybe he needs somebody to care? Do you think that he might need a friend, somebody to talk to? I mean, do you understand me? I mean, he's away from his family and his brothers, what they did to him. He's in a strange land, Egypt, with strange language. And here he is, and this woman wants him. And it says, but Joseph refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in this house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than me, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife, and you are not my wife, in other words. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? What did he just say? He's saying, my God is a good God. How can I do that to a God that's so good to me? Who's everywhere I go, he's caused me to be a success, even though, yes, I've been in prison. Yes, even though it's bad, all the things, I'm away from my family. He says, no, I'm not going to do that. And so it was. Listen to what happened. So it was. She spoke to Joseph. Day by day, say that with me, day by day, that he did not heed her, though, to lie with her or to be with her. Now listen about temptation. Temptation is not only a one-time thing, is it? He was tempted, it says, day after day after day after day. It was an ongoing temptation, okay? And all during the day, I don't know what she said to Joseph, but I mean, she could have said, you know, tell me about your family. You know, tell me about your brothers that did whatever they did to you. How can I help you get back home, Joseph? Let's just have lunch. I mean, we don't have to sleep together. We can just be friends. Maybe smooch or something, you know. Come on. But it happened. It happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work. Listen carefully now. None of the men of the house was inside, and she caught him. That is the ultimate secret temptation. Joseph, nobody's ever going to know. There'll be no witnesses. I need a friend, Joseph, and I know you need one too. And she caught him by his garment saying, lie with me. And that didn't mean let's go tell a bunch of lies, okay? It says, lie with me. And what did he do? But no, he left his garment in her hand. He fled. He ran outside. And you know the rest of the story. Potiphar came home and she said, the Hebrew, look, here's his jacket and so forth. And he tried to rape me. Remember? Now, don't be deceived about temptation. Joseph, certainly he resisted. But how did he truly finally overcome it? He ran. Amen. In other words, he fled youthful lust. You know, remember that great movie, whatever it was, Run, Forrest, Run. You know what I mean? And that's what he did. Now, listen to me. Sometimes when you resist and run from temptation, it could cost you. Did you know that? It's prevalent today. And certainly it cost Joseph because he was put in prison for doing right. But we know the story. He didn't. We know the story. It was only temporary. It was only for a few months. Had Joseph doubted the goodness of God? Why am I here? Why did you let this happen to me? I mean, I need somebody. Do you follow what I'm getting? But he didn't do that because he knew the goodness of God in a temptation. If he had taken that bait because the bait hid the consequences, he could have missed his future destiny. Because in just a few months, Joseph was promoted to the second in command of all of Egypt. Amen? And so forth. Now, why did Joseph overcome? The reason he overcame was because in the midst of the temptation, all that he has gone through, all the trials, he never once doubted the goodness of God. Never. And here's the thing. If you are in being tempted, you better run. Because here's what you're doing. You're doubting the goodness of God in your life. He'll make a way of escape. Do you understand? We've got to be so careful about that. And if you don't do that in the midst of, or why are these things happening to me? And now I start doubting God doesn't love me or goodness of God. Here's what happens. You open yourselves up for the bait. You say, well, if I'm not attracted to this, now I'm attracted to that right there. But Joseph never, never doubted the goodness of God. He says in verse 18, look at it with me. Of his own will he brought forth by the word of truth that we might be a kind of, not fruitcakes, but first fruits of his creatures. Amen? So here's the best gift. You talk about a good gift, the supreme gift. The Father of lights is the Father of life. He's the source of all life. And you know what? He's the Father of every believer, and we are his children. How did it happen? The word of truth. What is the word of truth? It's the gospel, the good news. Paul the apostle said in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He says, I'm not ashamed of it at all, for it's the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and to the Greek, whoever believes that. And then he says in verse 17, for the just shall live by faith. Now listen very carefully. Look at that scripture again. It says, God of his own will, he brought us forth that we might be the first fruits, in other words, born again and so forth. We don't want to birth sin. We don't want to put our inward desires with an outward temptation and birth sin. What God wants for everyone is that we should join God's will with our will. And when we do that, we become a brand new creation. We give birth. God gives us birth. Amen? And that's what we need to do. The new birth, loved one. Jesus said in John 3:3 that you must be born again to enter or even see the kingdom of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that if anyone be in Christ Jesus, new creation, old things have passed away, all things become new. Peter tells us, he says in 1 Peter 1:23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. How? Through the word of God, which lives and abides forever and ever and ever. Listen to me now. There is coming a temptation next year. And it's going to be a temptation that seems right, pure, not unholy, but holy. But it's not right and it's not holy. I cannot define it. I'm just declaring it. A few days ago, as the Lord spoke to me in my prayer time about 2024, I wrote down exactly what I felt the Spirit was speaking to me about. Because I have not ceased, there's not one day that I have not ceased to say, show me 2024. Show me things to come. Give me wisdom. Let me see it. And so I don't know what day it was, because like I said, I've been sick all week. But Pastor Thomas came into my office and said, let me tell you what the Lord showed me. And he told me. And I walked over to my desk. I pulled a piece of paper and I handed it to him. I said, and that's what the Lord showed me about 2024. And they were the same. There is something that is coming. See, we think, listen to me, we think when we say, well, 2024, boy, revolution, all the rest of it, and we think it's going to be dark. It's going to be so horrible. Listen, that's easy to discern those things. Isn't it? Oh, isn't it easy to discern? That is horrible. It's what's not discernible, what we're not discerning, that temptation or that trial. We don't want to be deceived. We want to be wise. Wise as serpents and gentle as a dove. Amen? We want to understand the times that we're living in and know what we ought to do. That's why it's so important for us not to be deceived. And let me tell you something. If you're here this morning and Jesus Christ is not your Lord, you're deceived because the deceiver is deceiving you. You know, listen to me now. If you don't want Jesus, if you're rejecting Jesus, please ask yourself, who's really to blame? I mean, don't blame God. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen? And don't blame Jesus. He willingly went to the cross and bore the sin of your sin, my sin, the sin of the world. Amen? And certainly don't blame the Holy Spirit, who is present with us right now, who is not only willing, and who loves us, but who is pleading, if you don't know Christ. He's pleading with you to come to Christ right now and be saved. But here's the problem. If you don't know Christ and you heard what I just said, let me tell you what's happening right now. You are being tempted. Don't be deceived. Because the blinder of minds, who is the devil, he doesn't want your mind to be the light of God's good news to come into your mind or into your heart. He wants to snatch everything out of your heart, all the Word of God. Amen? That's what he wants. Listen to me. No. Don't take the bait of the devil. Take Jesus. He said, come to me. Come to me and I'll make you a different person. I could even say right now, if you're a Christian, come to me and I'll get you out of that temptation. Come on. See, if you don't know the Lord, who are you going to blame? I'll tell you who you're going to blame. You better blame yourself. Because Jesus put it this way. He said in John 5:40, but you're not willing to come to me that you might have life, eternal life. John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief, he comes to steal, he comes to kill, he comes to destroy. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's what God wants. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you're here this morning or listening live and you go, I don't know Jesus, I've never really asked him to be my Lord. I mean, I've been coming to church and all that, but I'm not living for the Lord. I don't even open my Bible, although I say I'm a Christian, but I don't know him. Well, he wants to know you. Right now, you can say, well, Bill, how is that done? Well, the first step is called faith. You lift your hand and say, Bill, I want you to pray for me. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. And it's not about joining the church. You can't join the church. You have to be born again in the church. It's not about Calvary Chapel. It's about you becoming a Christian right now, saying, Jesus, I want you to save me. So if that's you, don't get out of your seat. Just lift your hand high, put it right back down, and I'm going to pray for you. God bless you. I see that hand. Anyone else to say, Bill, please, I want Jesus to be my Lord. Don't let the devil tempt you and steal this moment from you if you're not saved. He is going, God bless you, thank you. Anyone else say, Bill, that's me. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Right now, I want to be saved. I want to be made new. I want my sins washed away. I want heaven to be my home. Last, God bless you, that's right. Last call, anyone else before we pray? Father, you saw the hands that were raised that signified faith in their hearts. So if you that lifted your hands, and maybe if you're listening live right now and you say, Bill, I want in on that prayer. I want to be saved. Then you pray this prayer with me. Oh, and those who lifted their hands, you pray this prayer with me. Church, help me right now. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you. I come to the throne called grace to obtain mercy, find grace, help in time of need. And I need help. I want to be saved. I want heaven to be my home. And I want my sins washed away. I want to be made new. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus be my Lord. And I believe in my heart that, Father, you raised him from the dead. You promised if I believe that and if I ask Christ to be my Lord, you would save me. Well, I believe. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. And the church says, amen.
Pastor continues his study of James on our Monday broadcast, and we hope you'll join us once again. We appreciate you listening to Love Never Fails this week. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.